Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Welcome to another rich episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. Our lives will never remain the same again. This week, we've been studying forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness in Christ. We've seen out that God has a disposition of forgiveness. We've seen out that even before the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, God is seen as a God who is ready to pardon, abounding in mercy and grace and loving kindness. God is good. Hallelujah. And also we've touched a little on how there was a need for sacrifice because the problem of humanity's sin goes beyond pardon. Humanity has to be delivered from the stronghold of Satan. Hallelujah. So today, let's continue to examine this truth about remission of sins. Matthew 26:28. Bible says, "For this is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." This is my blood which is shed for many for what? The remission of sins. It's common practice in the church today for people to use the blood of Jesus for many things. As a matter of fact, nobody is meant to use the blood of Jesus. Because in scriptures, the blood is always used by the priest or the high priest. Hallelujah. Such that in the Old Testament, the high priest went into the holiest place once every year to offer the blood of bulls and goats. Now, in the New Testament, Christ himself was the one who offered himself as the sacrifice, as the Lamb of God, him being the high priest. Hallelujah. So it's even a loose way of seeing it. Say, we are using the blood. We are pleading the blood. We are not to use the blood. We are to have faith in the blood of Christ. Faith in the sacrifice, in what he has done. So, and then we see that specifically, the blood of Christ is for remission of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ is not for having safe journey. You're about to travel out and then you're pleading the blood for safe journey. That's not what the blood is meant for. The blood of Christ is not for healings. It's not for miracles and diverse things that people have attributed to the blood. The blood of Christ is not for getting job promotion. You know why? Because all kinds of miracles have happened and, you know, keep happening without a need for sacrifice. Hallelujah. Bible does not say without the shedding of blood there can be no healing, or without the shedding of blood there can be no miracles, or without the shedding of blood there will be no protection. All these things can happen without the shedding of blood just by operating in the power of God. But Bible tells us specifically that without the shedding of blood there will be no remission of sins. There can be no remission of sins. That is the only thing that demands sacrifice. Hallelujah. Should I walk you through scriptures? I'm in a mood to do this. Let me walk you through scriptures so that we can see how reference to the blood in the Bible is always connected to remission of sins, forgiveness of sins. Romans in chapter 3, verse 25. Romans 3, 25. Blood, the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus in the New Testament specifically answers to remission of sins, forgiveness. Romans chapter 3 verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation. The word propitiation is satisfaction. Satisfaction. Hallelujah. An expiation. Propitiation by his blood. Through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. So you see that the blood of Christ is connected with propitiation for sins. Justification by faith. So his blood is connected with propitiation of sins. Propitiation for sins. Romans chapter 5 verse 9. Bible says, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So you see again, it connects the blood of Christ with justification by faith. And justification, of course, is acquittal from sin. Hallelujah. To be declared not guilty of sin. So it still answers to remission of sins. The blood of Christ is about remission of sins. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. Ephesians 1 7. Bible says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Hallelujah. The blood again is connected to redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Emphatically, Bible connects blood, the blood of Christ, to remission of sins, or with remission of sins. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Look at this. Glory to God. Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. When he says we have been brought near by the blood of Christ, he's talking about forgiveness of sins. Because the word being brought near there refers to reconciliation by which we are drawn nigh to God. We come to God without blame. Hallelujah. So we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. If you look at the context very well, from verse 11, it says, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called on circumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. From the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. So, why were we without God and without hope? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were far off from God. We were alienated from the life of God. We were strangers. It now says we are brought nigh by the blood of Christ Jesus. So, that speaks of remission of sins. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:14. The same thing. Remission of sins. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That which came by the blood of Jesus is redemption and the remission of sins. Hallelujah. And I'll repeat this. All kinds of miracles have happened and still happen today without the need for sacrifice, without the need for shedding blood. Glory be to God. In fact, let's look at Leviticus 17. You see that blood was always connected with forgiveness, sins, atonement. At Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, very remarkable truth. Albeit it was in shadows and types, but then it communicates the significance of sacrifice, of the shedding of blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Glory to God. Leviticus 17:11, Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So like I said, this was in shadows in the Old Testament, in the law of Moses. But then it shows you the significance of the blood. That the blood is for atonement, which is known as reconciliation in the New Testament. Shedding of blood is for remission of sins. Hallelujah. So we don't use the blood, like I said. And then faith in the blood is for one particular thing. It's called remission of sins. Jesus himself says it. He says, this is why the blood was shed. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Look at Colossians 1:20. You see that the same thing he says in Ephesians 1:7, he's saying at Colossians 1:14. Now the same thing he said at Ephesians 2:13, he's going to say here at Colossians 1:20. Hallelujah. He says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Hallelujah. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet he has now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So you see again that the blood is connected with making peace with God, bringing you near to God, you know, reconciling you back to God. And that is remission of sins. Glory to God. So forgiveness is linked to the blood. Forgiveness alone is the only blessing that is connected to the blood of Christ, to the shedding of blood. Hallelujah. Singular blessing. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 to 14. You may like to read through Hebrews 9, the whole chapter, Hebrews 9. It has, for me so far, I've seen that it has the greatest or the most number of the use of the word blood in one chapter that you ever find in the New Testament. Blood, 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 blood. Romans 9 discusses, you know, the sacrifice of Jesus in contrast with the sacrifices in the Old Testament, and uses the word blood severally in communicating the truth. Hallelujah. Now, Hebrews 9, 12 to 14. Bible says, let me start from verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, not with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not with the with hands, sorry, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, nor with the blood of goats and cows, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The same thing we read about in Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Same thing we read in Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Bible says by Jesus' blood, by his own blood, he entered the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Which still speaks of remission of sins. Hallelujah. That's why the author of Hebrews is still going to mention forgiveness and remission of sins very soon. So look at verse 13 and 14. For if the blood of the bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Have you seen? The blood of Christ cleanses our conscience. It purges us. Hallelujah. From dead works to serve the living God. Look at verse 22 of Hebrews 9. Verse 22. Bible says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Hallelujah. There is no remission. Look at verse 24 to 26. Bible says, For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hallelujah. He has appeared to do what? To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. His sacrifice speaks of the shedding of his blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sacrifice of himself. Again, the sacrifice is connected to putting away sin. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19, Bible says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Glory to God. Bible says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Look at verse 19. Hallelujah. Let me read from verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He says, we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Again, you see that the blood is connected with redemption, which is the same as remission of sins. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, this is why the blood was shed. The blood is shed for the forgiveness or the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Such that the concept of pleading the blood to get many things is anti-scripture. Pleading the blood for job promotion, pleading the blood for protection, it's anti-scripture. You find such concept very strange and erroneous according to scriptures. Hallelujah. You're not going to find any place in the Bible where this particular doctrine is taught. It's a heresy. Praise God. You won't find any place also where this particular doctrine is practiced. People were pleading the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood over my relatives. The blood of Jesus Christ shed speaks of remission of sins. That was the essence of Jesus' death and resurrection. Hallelujah. So when you look through scriptures, you discover that Jesus' death is connected exclusively to forgiveness of sins. Which is the same thing we read about. His blood shed. It speaks of redemption. Hallelujah. Many times you find believers practicing things that have no root in Bible, that have no basis in the scriptures. Why? Because those things are popular opinion. And if you are going to serve God in this generation, if you are going to serve God according to his word, according to scriptures, if you are going to walk the path of truth in this generation, you must come out of the bandwagon. Hallelujah. You must come out of the system that thrives based on popularity. There are many people who cannot stay with the truth because they find the truth unpopular. So they would rather dance with the crowd, join the crowd. You see, but you see, God is not always with the majority. God is with the truth. Whether the truth is with the minority or with the majority, God is in his word. God is found only in the truth. Hallelujah. So the death of Jesus Christ is linked to forgiveness alone. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Romans 4, 25. Glory to Jesus. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Bible says, who was delivered up for our offenses, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Have you seen? Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses. He wasn't delivered up so we can have miracles, so we can have success in our exams, so we can reach the peak of our careers. No, he was delivered up for offenses. As a matter of fact, all the things I mentioned are things possible without the shedding of blood. But the shedding of blood, but forgiveness of sins, the remission of sins is not possible without the shedding of blood. Hallelujah. So, his death answers to forgiveness of sins alone. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Glory be to God. Galatians 1, 3 to 4. See how Paul puts it here. Paul says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says he gave himself for our sins. Hallelujah. He gave himself for our sins. Compare this with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not fail exams. No. Should not be unemployed. No. Should not list them. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith in the blood, faith in the sacrifice of Jesus guarantees one thing: redemption, remission of sins. Redemption from sin, remission of sins. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. Oh, glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3. I would to God that you receive this truth. I would to God that you receive this truth, even if it is opposed and contrary to your belief, to your denominational persuasion. This is the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. This is the truth of God's word that existed before your denomination. It existed before your pastor. It existed before this person speaking right now. This is the word of God that is authoritative, that is binding, that is the final arbiter in matters of doctrine. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Paul says, I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He died for sin. Hallelujah. Christ died for sin according to scriptures. So the blood of Jesus Christ is for the remission of sins. Hebrews 10 verse 11 to 12. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 11 to 12. See what it says. Bible says, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. See that sacrifices are offered for sins. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, what did he offer the sacrifice for? For sins. For how long? Forever. Sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. What is the perfection? The taking away of sins. Hallelujah. He has offered one sacrifice for sins forever. So Jesus Christ died for sins. His blood was shed for the remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 1. Glory to God. Hebrews in chapter 1. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, when he had purged our sins. That's why he came. He came to die, to give his life as a ransom for all, to shed his blood for the remission of sins. He came to die for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. Glory to God. Glory be to Jesus. 1 Peter 2, 24. Bible says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Have you seen? He himself bore our sins in his own body. By whose stripes you were healed. He's not talking about physical healing here. He's referring to the word healed here is the word that also means to make whole. You know, Jesus says to heal the brokenhearted. He's talking about being made whole spiritually. We came alive to God. Hallelujah. By his stripes, we were forgiven. We were ransomed. We were redeemed by his stripes. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter 3, 18. The blood of Jesus, I said, is not to be used by anybody. We don't plead the blood. The high priest is the one that uses the blood. And the blood of Christ has been shed already. It's been used. It's been shed for the remission of sins. All that we need to do is to have faith in his sacrifice, to have faith in his work, to have faith in his resurrection, to have faith in the fact that Jesus died and rose again, and we are saved. We have no business pleading the blood. All that God tells us to do in his word is to believe in the sacrifice of his son. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Bible says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Have you seen? Christ suffered for what? For sins. He suffered for sins. This is too consistent in the scriptures. And I put it to you that you will never find a verse of the Bible that supports the idea of pleading the blood of Christ. Why? Because the blood was already shed, was already used for the remission of sins. All we need to do is to believe and we are saved. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, verse 24. Let's quickly learn something very powerful from Hebrews 12, 24. Bible says, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. So, he says the blood of Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel did speak. So, how did the blood of Abel speak? Was there anybody in the Garden of Eden? No, it was not even in the garden. They were already off the garden. Was there anybody in the beginning that, you know, when Cain murdered Abel, his brother, was there anybody pleading the blood of Abel? The blood of Abel. Was there anybody shouting, the blood of Abel? The blood of Abel. The Bible says the blood of Abel spoke, and the blood of Jesus speaks better things. So how did the blood of Abel speak? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Sorry, Genesis 4. How did the blood of Abel speak? Genesis chapter 4. Praise God. When Cain had killed his brother, from verse 9, Bible says, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. You see, by itself, the blood by itself, that is, and when he says the blood cries out, it's a manner of speaking. It's just a figurative expression, a metaphor. That is, the blood, the death of Abel meant something. Hallelujah. Abel died unjustly through the hands of Cain. So, your blood, the blood of your brother cries out to me from the ground. Hallelujah. And then he now says, so now, you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. So, what did the blood of Abel speak? It spoke curses. Because he died unjustly, because he was murdered by his brother, his death brought about vengeance. Hallelujah. The earth that opened its mouth to receive the blood began to release curses upon Cain. So that was how the blood of Abel spoke. By itself, for dying unjustly, his blood released curses. Hallelujah. It now says the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So how does the blood of Jesus also speak? Not by anybody pleading it. The death in itself stands for something. It's significant. The death in itself, the blood of Christ signifies something. See that when Jesus was dying on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So the death of Jesus speaks forgiveness. There was no cry of vengeance. He was advocating for forgiveness even while on the cross, because his blood was shed for the remission of sins. He was dying for the sins of those who were crucifying him. Hallelujah. So the blood of Jesus is not something we plead. The blood already speaks. Hallelujah. The blood already pleads. The blood already speaks. How? By itself. Glory be to God. The blood stands for something, which is what we saw in the earlier part of this teaching today. So, the blood of Abel speaks, you know, vengeance, curses. The blood of Christ speaks blessings. Hallelujah. Redemption, remission of sins. So then we don't plead the blood. The blood pleads. We don't speak the blood. The blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. The blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So back to Matthew 26:28. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now that word remission in the Greek is the word aphesis. A-P-H-E-S-I-S. Aphesis in the Greek. What does it mean? The word remission, aphesis, actually means to set at liberty. It means freedom. It means deliverance. It means pardon. It means forgiveness. So like I said yesterday, there's an element of pardon in the remission, but it goes beyond pardon. It goes beyond letting you go scot-free this time till the next time. It is not overlooking an offense for now till the next offense. Remission of sins speaks of liberty, freedom. In fact, Thayer's definition says to release from bondage or imprisonment. Remission of the penalty. So you are released, you are delivered from bondage and imprisonment. Aphesis. Now this is the crux of Jesus' death. This is the crux. This is the essence of Jesus' death and resurrection. Hallelujah. That men by his blood, by the shedding of his blood, men by identifying with this work are delivered. Men are rescued from the power of hell. Men are rescued from the power of Satan. Men are delivered. Men are set at liberty. Glory be to God. So men are not just pardoned in their offenses, pardoned of their offenses, and yet in their state of slavery. Men are pardoned and set free from bondage to sin. Hallelujah. Mark 1:4. Remission of sins is the crux of the new covenant. That is the major blessing of the new covenant. Remission of sins. Hallelujah. Remission of sins. A major blessing. In fact, it is the access to every other thing we received in Christ Jesus. Because without forgiveness, there's no entry into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Look at this. Mark 1:4. Hallelujah. Bible says, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. A baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. The baptism itself was not what took away remission of sins. The baptism was pointing to remission of sins. It was pointing to how sins will be forgiven and remitted. Hallelujah. A baptism that tells them a change of mind, that shows them a change of mind concerning remission of sins. Glory to God. When men begin to see that remission of sins will not come by their works, will not come by the sacrifices of bulls and goats, they will begin to see Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You know, John pointed at Jesus and says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Remission of sins. Luke 1:76-79. Bible says, and you child will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. So you see that remission of sins is a major thing in the New Testament. That was the essence of Jesus' death and resurrection. And like I said before, that the definition of remission, according to the Greek word aphesis, is that the man is delivered and set free. In remission of sins, there's a deliverance. Glory to God. In the remission of sins, there is a deliverance. Little wonder at Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Look at this. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. See what Jesus says concerning his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We saw this yesterday. Let's see it again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The KJV says, to preach deliverance to the captives. And that word deliverance is the word aphesis. Have you seen? The same word translated remission of sins. Also, the word liberty, liberty to those to, you know, to preach liberty to those, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The word liberty there is the same word aphesis, which means to release from bondage. So Jesus is saying his mission is to preach deliverance. Hallelujah. Now, if you read this together with Colossians 1:13 to 14, you see the clear picture. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. So the deliverance that happened is by the remission of sins. Hallelujah. So Jesus says he's come to preach deliverance to captives. He's come to preach, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, what was the mandate he gave to his disciples? Luke 24, verse 46 to 47. Luke 24, 46 to 47. Bible says, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. At Luke 4:18, he says he has been sent to preach deliverance to captives. At Luke 24:46-47, he says to go and preach repentance and remission of sins. You know why? Because deliverance to the captives is the same as remission of sins. Glory be to God. So he has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives, to preach remission of sins to the captives. Hallelujah. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the deliverance from sin. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the liberty from sin. Hallelujah. Because remission of sins is liberty and deliverance from the power of sin. Glory be to God. We're going to continue from this place tomorrow. Do your best to tune in on time. Invite your friends. Talk about it. You know. And let's have a great time together in the Word of God. It's going to be a long, long study about the remission of sins. You don't want to miss out on any part of this series. Glory be to God. Have a great day, being full of God's Word, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, full of power, full of wisdom. See you in the next episode.